Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Weekly News. Joining me today is the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Nico Jansen. Nico, how are you doing?
I'm perfect. I'm just perfect. Sitting here in cold Salzburg, but it seems like you're not kissed by warm sunshine as well.
That's right. Frost everywhere in Manchester, -3 degrees today. But it's really sunny, and it seems to be the only time you get sunshine in Manchester, where I live, is when it's basically too cold to go outside. So not an ideal combination, but I shouldn't complain. It's a big day for Next.io, Nico, because, of course, tonight is the iGaming Idol Award Ceremony that happens once a year. Very exclusive event, of course, happening at the Intercontinental Hotel in Malta later on. But the event this year is even more significant because our very own Connor, our co-host on Weekly News, is presenting the awards. And he's going to be the kind of, you know, the talent in front of the cameras on stage tonight. And I've heard on the grapevine, Nico, that it's going to be the first ever industry roast. So, and I think actually, Nico, you've had a very lucky escape because you were in Connor's crosshairs. You were going to be in his line of fire. But because you're in Salzburg, you weren't able to attend. So you've gotten away with one this year, but I don't know if that'll carry on into next year.
Yeah, you never know. So probably, and finally, the internship he did with Ricky Gervais finally pays off, combined with the internship he did with David Copperfield. So he's just combining the two of the most anticipated industries in one. And if there's one guy actually pulling off each and everything, you know, it's our beloved Connor. So kudos to him, and I'm pretty sure it will be a lot of fun.
Definitely, yeah. He's a man of many talents, and if you've been on the receiving end of one of his roasts before, it's not a particularly pleasant experience. And I think there might be a few egos shattered tonight across the industry, Nico, with some big names set to be in the room. So if you're going, have an amazing time. If you're shortlisted, big congratulations and the best of luck. And if you're not going, I have been told by a marketing team that there'll be a kind of on-demand video of the ceremony available on our YouTube channel at a later date. So do keep your eyes peeled for that. But in the meantime, me and Nico will try and entertain you with weekly news. Big hello to Bogdan. Thank you very much for joining us. And to Elizabeth, who says she can't wait to see what Connor and Ross have prepared for tonight's show. Me neither. And a big hello to Liga from Riga. Nico, we've got a massive main topic to discuss today, which is obviously the news that Kindred has pulled out of the US market. But before we do, I would love it if you could begin the show with 10 and 5.
Yeah, we'll do. So let me take you off. As Goldman Sachs downgrades Entain due to online growth concerns. The investment bank and financial services giant Goldman has downgraded Entain to sell from a former buy due to the concern over business growth, particularly within its online division. So Entain's price target has been slashed from 1.45 pence, pretty much the price of August 2023, to 820 pence. Which is 2.9% lower than the closing price of Monday evening. And the overall price as of now should be around 790, 780. So they have halved the overall price since August. Brazil postpones betting votes as the Senate is divided on the status of online casino. So the plenary of the Federal Senate was scheduled to vote on Bill 3626 today, which is Wednesday 29th. However, and due to last-minute deliberations, senators are divided on the inclusion of online games casino incorporated in the bill's text, and opposition to online casino maintains that the bill's modalities provide no adequate framework to regulate online casino games. Then PinUp Global adds PinUp investments to its global gaming ecosystem. In a statement confirmed the development, the firm explained that PinUp Investments invests in projects and products in gambling, traffic, software development, customer service, payment systems, advertising platforms, arbitrage teams, and artificial intelligence-based products. So welcome to the M&A world, to PinUp Global. Staying in the M&A world, as DraftKings VC funds Picklebet in a 15 million Australian dollars financing round. Picklebet has raised 15 million Australian dollars, which is roughly 9.04 million euros, in a Series A financing round that attracted investments from DraftKings. The round was led by a growth stage investment firm, Discerning Capital, and an investment was also made by Drive, which is a DraftKings arm, a venture capital fund investing in sports technology and entertainment business. So they are obviously showing skin in the international presence as well. Giving some information about the Lottomatica SKS 365 takeover, as they are planning to do a 500 million euro notes sale, and the transaction includes floating rate senior secured notes, which are due in 2023, and 7.125 senior secured notes due in 2028. So this acquisition doesn't come cheap. Entain, and this is news from last week, Friday, is to finally settle their Turkish dispute with a settlement of £600 million in total. So last week, Friday, on the 24th of November, Entain informed investors of obtaining preliminary judicial approval due a corporate update that the company will pay a financial penalty and disgorge profits totaling £585 million. In addition, they will contribute £20 million to charitable donations and cover £10 million in costs for HMRC and the CPS, which are Turkish government organizations. And now, quite interesting, as Adelson is about to sell 2 million shares worth $2 billion dollars in Sands stock to buy the stake in Mark Cuban's Dallas Mavericks. Miriam Adelson, she's the widow of Las Vegas Sands founder Sheldon Adelson, is selling $2 billion of stocks in the business to help fund the purchase of the majority interest in the Dallas Mavericks, which is currently owned by Mark Cuban. The sale represents approximately 10% of Adelson's total holding in Sands. The sale would reduce the overall share to around 46%, which implies that due to the sale, they will not be having a shareholder, they will be not having more than 50% of all voting rights, so they can't push things through anymore at Las Vegas Sands. So it will be interesting to see what will happen on this end as well. The Maltese Prime Minister defends Bill 55 in a meeting with Austrian Chancellor here in Vienna, not in Salzburg. So he said to aim of the bill was not Bill 55, was not to protect gambling operators in cases where the law was violated, but rather to protect against procedures that do not respect the European principle of a free market. So it will be interesting to see where this one is going. Then iGaming Ontario seeks partner for a central self-exclusion system. The iGaming Ontario is to launch a request for proposals, RFP, to develop a centralized self-exclusion solution in the Canadian province. The winning bid, which will launch the RGP in early 2024, will be expected to develop and implement a system that integrates with all operator systems And this should also support player self-exclusion, registration, renewal, and reinstatement. So probably we will see companies from Denmark, Sweden, and or Germany applying there. And last but not least, as the California daily fantasy sports industry faces a potential crackdown, as the California attorney General Rob Bonta is reviewing whether the state's gambling law prohibits daily fantasy sports. At around $200 million in annual entry fees, the Golden State of California is by far the largest daily fantasy sports DFS market in the country. But none of that goes to state, though, which has left the industry unregulated and untaxed. So it's still the same question. Is DFS a game of chance or a game of skill? We will see how this one plays out. And this has been my 10 and 5.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Nico. A busy week with lots of interesting headlines in there. Thank you to our sponsors today as well, Playson and Bombay Group, who you can see on the graphic on screen there. And thank you to Rory and Katie, who have joined us since the stream started. I hope you're both doing well. Right, I think, Nico, the time has come to dive into our main topic today, and that is the news that Kindred is pulling out of the US market completely. So Kindred will immediately begin a controlled exit from North America, it said this week, with the intention of closing down all US operations by the end of Q2 next year. This was announced alongside their Q3 results, and they gave three sort of primary reasons for the decision to pull out. And those are as follows. They said, the long-term outlook for Kindred in North America has changed since our entry. The competitive nature of the market means that significant resources needed to close the gap on market leaders. And at our current capacity, this is untenable. Then they said, despite optimization efforts in recent quarters, continued losses from our North American operations are placing pressure on group profitability and long-term targets. And then finally, they said closure of North American operations allows for greater value creation in core group markets where we see a more attractive return on investment prospects. Pretty hard to argue with any of those. I think, Nico, what were your kind of first impressions when you heard about this news?
Yeah, first of all, it's so... Last week, we already covered this topic, but on a different kind of industry or approach to the industry as Catena Media. Of course, they are in the affiliate business. They literally sold everything and anything they have in the European market, focusing just on the US market, while operators are obviously struggling in the US. So one thing is for sure. The US market, especially for the operators and the operator side, doesn't come cheap. We've seen one of the most anticipated startups, Maxenbet, being forced to file for insolvency as well. Bet365 did not show a lot of skin in the US game. As of now, they're improving and investing more. And as said, so from an operator side, it obviously makes a lot of sense to not step into the ring with the heavyweights like DraftKings, FanDuel, ESPN, and what's the third one? I forgot.
BetMGM. That's right. I don't think Kindred are the first sort of casualty of the US online market, and I don't think they'll be the last either. Just for a bit more detail here, it says in the coming months, Kindred will work closely with its partners in North America to ensure a controlled closure of operations. And they've got quite a lot to do because Kindred was live in the US with its Unibet brand. It was live in five US states, so Arizona, Indiana, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. And it was also live in Ontario in Canada. And this was announced in Q3, obviously, but they'd already started kind of cutting back in the US because that they've withdrawn from Iowa in December 2022. And that was when they decided they were going to go for like a kind of multi-vertical approach. So they only really wanted to be live in the US states that had both iGaming and sports betting, which isn't a lot, obviously. But then this quarter, they also revealed that they've exited a market access agreement in Ohio, where they never actually launched. And just to basically sever that market access agreement, that alone costs £5 million. So it's going to be a pretty expensive process, I think, for them to withdraw from the US. They've said that as much themselves. They said there'll be a short-term negative impact for cash flow in Q4 and into 2024. But crucially, we are confident this is the correct decision for driving long-term returns for the group. Now, Nico, I remember on the pod about a year ago, probably saying that, you know, we weren't sure that the US market was right, really, for Kindred. I think Ryan Butler came on and said, like, nobody has heard of Unibet over here. And it looks like they've now sort of come to that same conclusion, really. I think it was probably the right decision for them to pull out, certainly from an investor's point of view. What would you say?
Yeah, pretty much the same. You know, just picking up the comment which has been given by Katie, it's probably more difficult than expected for European brands to get proper recognition compared to American founded competitors. First of all, there are two types of competitors in the US. The biggest group and the obviously successful group, they always operate like the daily fantasy sports already. So they already implemented their own affiliate network, which they can rely on and then convert these already existing companies, which they can sign up from the age of 18 to become active punters by the age of 21. So this is one of the leading forces to actually gain market share, significant market share. And that's why FanDuel and DraftKings literally own the market. We will just see how Fanatics, as another force, and ESPN, who also already have a decent customer basis, fit into the overall value chain as well. We've already seen Caesars spending tons of money to actually gain some access in New York, with sign-up bonuses of more than $3,000 per sign-up, etc. So as said, the US market doesn't come cheap. And if you are not willing to invest at least a three-digit amount, million amount of money, I'm pretty sure the US ain't your playground, especially considering the competition which is already out there. And that's why it's just one of the logical steps for Kindred to actually pull out with their brand of Unibet.
Yeah, that's a good point, Nico. And thank you to Katie for getting her comments in today. Just for the podcast listeners, she says, is the US easy? No. Will it be worth it in the future? Yes. That is my motto every day. And if you want to get your comments in, please do. You can also scan the QR code there, the top left of our screen, if you want to read along with this story to find out some more details. But I agree with you, Nico. I think this makes sense, certainly from a kind of strategy perspective, but it makes almost double the sense if you kind of look at the numbers in black and white as well. So if we look at Q3 2023, which Kindred reported this week, obviously, revenue from the US was 6.4 million, which was actually down 11% on last year. But crucially, their EBITDA losses from the US were 6.5 million. So they're actually losing more than they're even making in revenue over there. And Eilers and Krejcik have forecast that basically they've lost close to $100 million of EBITDA basically investing in the US up till now. Again, sticking with the numbers, I think hopefully our producer, Lorena, has a great little pie chart here for you, which shows Kindred's share of revenue from the US in Q3, which is barely scratches the surface, really, at just above 2%, and that's 6.4 million, as we talked about. Thanks for that, Lorena. So yeah, that kind of put things into perspective as well. But what kind of baffles me, Nico, on this is that they were still heavily investing in the US market kind of right up to during Q2 this year. So the prior quarter, because on the 10th of May, they went live with their proprietary sportsbook platform in New Jersey. And they said that would kind of significantly improve their product offering in the US. Let's not forget, though, Henrik Tjärnström was still the chief executive at that time. And he said, introducing the Kindred platform to our customers in New Jersey will provide the entertainment and experience enjoyed by customers in Europe. We are now finally able to show off our true Unibet product. But then, Nico, just 1 week later, on the 17th of May, Henrik resigned with immediate effect. And perhaps that was a turning point for the US strategy, or perhaps a kind of different approach on that strategy is what triggered his resignation in the first place.
Yeah, probably, we never know. But if we just compare the overall performance, and I'm speaking about sports bets and sports bet only companies, Q3 has been a quite difficult quarter for each and everybody. You know, we already covered like the 888 statement when, if I'm not mistaken, and I never got along with their statement, like, okay, unfortunately, we had to pay out a lot of winning bets, and that's what's harming our results, while others phrased it a little bit more convenient, like, okay, we are happy that we had been able to pay out a lot of winning customers, which are now happy customers. So Q3 2023 has been a very, very hard quarter for each and every sports betting company. And as you are globally, literally having a global footprint, of course, you can gain literally, you know, winnings all over the world. But if you then need to decide, okay, we have to cover costs on one end, what is the one end we can cut costs? And unfortunately, this is just affecting the US market in the terms of Kindred. And if I'm not mistaken, they are also about to slash the headcount by 300 people as well. So it's not like an easy decision, just pulling out a little bit of money and just closing down locations in the US. So they have a significant slash of headcount as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the comments are also sort of playing to that position that it's just so expensive. Katie said it's very expensive, and Bogdan said there's been a significant financial setback for Kindred, and that's true, because if we look at development costs for Q2, they were 10.9 million, and for H1 they were 22.1 million. So that was a major increase on last year. But if we drill down, Nico, into where that money is being spent, I thought this line was really interesting. The increases in development costs are largely impacted by selective headcount increases in tech and development to support the launch of our proprietary platform in North America. So development costs right into Q2 of this year were like £11 million on this US strategy that they've now, you know, abandoned, which explains why Eilers kind of believes they've spent up to 100 million in that market so far. So it's a real shame for them, and it hasn't worked out at all, because if we look at their market share, which is obviously a pretty good barometer to guide how successful operators are in the US, Eilers and Krychek says that Kindred had, this is in Q3, so the most recent quarter, had a 0.1% share of US online sports betting GGR and a 0.5% share of online casino GGR. So, I think Ryan was probably right in that he said US consumers just don't know about Unibet, and that explains kind of why Kindred has decided to fold its cards in this respect, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, the US is quite a unique market, as already pointed out. And if I'm not mistaken, just the two heavyweights of FanDuel and DraftKings, they own literally like 71, 72% of the overall market share. So the biggest piece of the pie is already gone. And, you know, if you then consider like, okay, there's only 28% left, which is pretty much the points in Formula One, which are still left as soon as you take out Red Bull of the equation. You know, it kind of gets a little bit boring. And just picking up the statements of Bogdan and Katie. So Bogdan was stating that the market entry fee to the US is 50 million, and Katie is that the license fee in New York is 100 million. So the anticipated license fee of 100 million was the license fee for California. As we all know, Prop 26 and Prop 27 did not go through. So California is off the table. License fee in New York is 25 million, which comes with a 51% taxation on revenue as well. And New York is by far the most expensive iGaming market there is out there in the world. But just getting the license ain't just the regular market entry fees, because customers don't come cheap in the US as well. I don't know the exact CPAs, what you actually need to pay down, but considering that within the Dutch market, the CPA for a casino player is 300 euros, I am pretty sure that within the US, CPA is at least 3 to 4 times. So we are speaking about 900 to 1200 euros per customer. And as said, this ain't cheap costs.
Yeah, exactly. I think Katie also says, I think personally the key to be successful in the US is to do it slow and cheap. But I think I disagree with that, because that's kind of, that was Kindred's approach, if you like, you know, not spending more than they could afford on marketing, only targeting states with both iGaming and sports betting. You know, they were quite cautious and they went about this carefully, but it's not worked out for them. And I think the guys right at the top there, the ones that spent a lot quickly, but also crucially, like you pointed out, Nico, had that kind of US demographic pre-existing from the DFS databases there. But in hindsight, you know, you can say Kindred should never have bothered with the US, but number one is they're a public company, and I don't think the public markets would have accepted back in 2018 or 2021 a company just ignoring the US opportunity, because it was humongous. And also Kindred weren't to know, you know, at that time, that we would see this kind of scale advantage play out into the kind of duopoly that you've discussed, Nico, with FanDuel and DraftKings. So they can't be blamed for that. I think they've come to the right decision eventually, which is to pull out. And I think investors are kind of looking on that decision favorably probably. But if we go back in time a little bit, I Googled their very first launch statement, which was back in 2018. They struck a partnership with Hard Rock. And it says, "This is a very exciting moment for Kindred, as we have been working hard to take this first important step into what will most likely become the largest betting market in the world. Kindred has been preparing to take this step for a long time, and we intensified our efforts when the US Supreme Court ruled against PASPA in May of this year." So very optimistic, very bullish. It seems like a lifetime ago now, that does, doesn't it, Nico? And unfortunately, it's not quite turned out like planned for Kindred.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure the story would have been quite different if they would have signed an agreement with Hard Rock in Florida. Because in Florida, it's only one operator, which is Hard Rock, actually being able to operate in that specific market. And as said, if you take out like the big market leaders of FanDuel and DraftKings out of the equation, out of a sudden, it's not 28% left in the market, it's 100%, and 100% just belong to you. And if I'm not mistaken, the numbers we've been seeing in Florida just from the Seminole tribe, which is operating and running Hard Rock casinos and the iGaming arm of Hard Rock as well, must have been insane.
Yeah, good point. And Katie says she should have come on the pod, Nico. We should have got her on as a third presenter today. She's very lively in those comments. But she said yeah, Kindred only should have done sportsbook first, in my opinion, rather than trying to juggle sports betting with iGaming at the same time. But moving on slightly, because we've done half an hour now already, there's an elephant in the room here, Nico, because the US business being terminated as a result of this strategic review has led to kind of one obvious question that people are asking, and that is whether a sale of Kindred is now imminent. Basically, we know, well, and you know better than anybody, they exited the German market altogether last year. Now they've pulled out of the US completely, which makes me think that they're kind of cleaning house in preparation for a sale. And adding fuel to that fire was a statement kind of buried in the Q3 results report, which said the strategic review initiated by the board remains ongoing, and we continue to advance a number of options to deliver shareholder value. The board currently believes that shareholder value will be maximized through a third-party transaction. So, yeah, Nico, I think this is all spring cleaning. And as you mentioned, I think 300 staff will be let go. Obviously, many of those coming from the US business, which is terrible for those. But if you're a big company looking to buy Kindred, I think that's probably quite an attractive thing, actually, that they're kind of, you know, dropping the dead weight markets and they're, you know, reducing their operating costs. They could become quite an attractive asset by doing that, in my opinion.
Yeah. And just to get things straight as well, besides Unibet, which is their sports betting operating arms, they, with 22red, bingo.com, casino, you own Kopelik, Maria Casino, they operate a lot of casinos. So that's why, of course, they specifically aim to enter iGaming markets in the US, where sports betting and iGaming are regulated alongside to each other. So there is always a lot of M&A stuff going on within our awesome industry, but we have already seen decent M&A activities over the last 12 months. Just remember, or the last 18 months, just remember William Hill being taken over by 888, etc. And it just, in the end, comes down to what's your offering. I don't know by heart the software which Kindred actually operates, if it's their own software or if they are using a big supplier. If I'm not mistaken, they once signed up with Kambi, which is a software solution provider running sports books, etc. Then this overall agreement has been shut down, which resulted in a kind of decrease in the overall value of Kambi. Kambi obviously recovered quite well. And if you're interested in how Kambi is doing, don't forget to listen to the podcast of the great and awesome looking Pierre Lindt had with the CEO of Kambi as well. So it's worth listening to, as said. So it actually comes on, or it just relies on, or comes down to what do you have to offer? And if they operate the software like LeoVegas, they operate their own software, and that's why they have been taken over by, if I'm not mistaken, Caesars bought LeoVegas, right?
MGM.
MGM bought LeoVegas, yeah. Just based on the software. So, as said, software is key, and if your software is smooth and running like a charm, then you're obviously one of the targets for M&A activities.
Yeah, exactly. I think on that point, MGM bought LeoVegas for the technology, like you say, but also for that international expansion that comes with a purchase like that. And there are a few US operators that could be looking down a similar path. Kindred, you're right, that Kambi still does their sports book and will until 2026, I think. But then they're in the process of building their own proprietary sports betting software, so that might be an asset depending on how that turns out. And let's not forget, they've also got Relax Gaming in their portfolio, which is a really successful B2B slots supplier. So that could be attractive, or that could potentially be, you know, sold off as a separate asset. But we know they're looking to save costs. The US exit and the 300 staff being let go are set to result in cost savings of 40 million. And Kindred is expecting to reach underlying EBITDA of 250 million by the end of next year. But there was some speculation in the Next.io WhatsApp channel this week that, like we've just discussed, they could be very attractive to US operators. And my favourite industry newsletter, the EKG line from Eilers and Krejcik, said Kindred could be attractive to US-facing operators that are sitting on a cash pile, like maybe Flutter or MGM. But then they've said, interestingly, even DraftKings could be a left-field bidder. The operator will have $1.2 billion in cash by the end of the year and is thought to have already kicked the tires on Kindred. Now, Nico, we know from DraftKings' latest earnings call that they do have global ambitions, and they've already had a look at, you know, Entain, at 888, and even at PointsBet. So maybe Kindred is the one that makes sense for them.
Maybe. And they already invested into PickleBet, which had been one of the topics in my 10 and 5 as well. So probably they could be one of the targets for DraftKings. As of now, they are quite silent with that regards, but it will be interesting to see. One thing is for sure, they will, if I'm not mistaken, coming up with a positive balance on their balance sheets regarding their sports betting activities already by Q2 2024. Or did they?
Yeah, DraftKings, yeah, wants full year profitability in 2024, I think.
Yeah, so there you see. Okay, they obviously climbed the big mountain and now they are sitting on cash and I'm pretty sure they're happy to invest.
Yeah, exactly. They want to protect that position and M&A might be the way to do that. Okay, that was a very lively, interesting discussion today. Some rampant speculation at the end there as well, Nico, which everybody likes to see. A big thank you to Bogdan and to Katie for keeping the conversation going and to everybody that took the time to comment. And a big thank you to our sponsors, Place and Bombay Group. I just want to finish today, Nico, by wishing Connor good luck because you know it's a big gig presenting to a room of 1,000 or so people tonight. I'm sure he's nervous, so if he's watching, we wish you the best of luck. And also, he'll be joining us on the pod next week to tell us all about how it went and who got roasted and how they reacted, which yeah. I can't wait to hear about personally.
Yeah, and maybe we're just seeing some footage as well from the roasting activities and the upcoming bare knuckle fight as well. So prepare yourself, Connor, and best of luck to each and everybody. And as you already mentioned within your intro, each and everybody within the industry being considered as a runner-up, as a shortlisted nominee on the overall Next.io Gaming Awards. You are all superstars and rock stars, so you're doing a great job, and thank you for being exactly the persons and providing your enthusiasm to the industry. You're doing a great job.
Exactly. Congratulations and the best of luck for tonight's ceremony. Thank you for joining me, Nico. Have a lovely rest of the week, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming close to me, flow is on atomic. I'm starting fires through poetry. The heart's out, staying loyal, no falling out. And if you step into the court, be ready, we balling out. Yeah.